This FPL season has definitely been go, go, go. A nonstop hustle all the time. Matches, deadlines, unexpected blank and double game weeks, on top of everything the real world has had in store. Sometimes you need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. For me personally, supporting Fulham during this last year has been a true roller coaster ride. Honestly, when that Adama Traore goal flew past Areola in the 92nd minute of game week 31, the only thing that saved my mental state, the only thing that calmed my nerves, was cracking open a Coors Light. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. That way, you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. And listen, everyone, summer is pretty much here. It's about to get hot in New York. An ice-cold Coors Light is such a perfect way for me to beat that summertime heat. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light and the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate.
Hail cheaters and welcome to the Always Cheating World Cup podcast. My name is Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
I'm good, Josh. Thanks for asking. I'm going to start off this podcast with where we often like to go. Brandon tries to talk football in the office.
All right, let's hear it.
So people who listened, I think it was one or two episodes ago. Now I'm a curiosity now that the World Cup is a thing in the office and people are like, oh, Brandon likes football. Let's talk to him about the World Cup. One of my coworkers asked me how I felt about Ronaldo. And I in turn then asked her how she felt about Ronaldo. Mm-hmm. And I thought her response was particularly memorable. She said, I used to write editorial for this dating advice website. And the only thing I know about Ronaldo is what I learned researching a listicle I wrote, 20 things that I would eat off of Ronaldo's abs.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's the end of the story, Josh. Right.
It's quite a story. So what did you say? I mean, did you ask her what the things were? Where did it end?
No, there's really nowhere to go from there, right. Josh. We're in the workspace. I'm not going to get into the gory details of
The real American soccer/football snob response would have been to look dumbfounded and say, which Ronaldo?
Yeah, we're talking about Brazilian or Portuguese Ronaldo.
Like, until because you clarify that's that, determine, I have no idea.
I mean, they're two very different cuisines, Portugal and Brazilian, determining what we're going to eat off their stomachs.
The Brazilian one would be, what 20 things he's eaten off his own stomach, I guess would be the most
very good. Case. Very good shout for fat Ronaldo there. last bit of Brandon at the office housekeeping. I learned randomly that one of my colleagues, his brother actually plays FPL and listens to the podcast, totally unrelated to me working with his brother. So I have to give a quick shout out to Sam Lee, who I understand is also known among his friends as Ham. So yeah, Ham, nice. Always cheating eyes are on you.
Thank you, Ham. And I assume you'll be a Patreon supporter by the time this podcast is is in the can. Brandon, I took a day out yesterday and I watched the World Cup, the Copa Mundial, if you will. I think that's how you.
And this is a luxury for Americans because all the World Cup games here in the States, particularly on the East Coast where we are happening at 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. prime office working hours. Sensing now, a theme here.
Last week when they were doing the regular matches, it was okay. They were on at 8 a.m., 11 a.m. and 2 p.m. So I could watch an hour of the 8 a.m.s before I went into work. And then I could, from noon to 1, I could watch the second half of the midweek.
Yeah,
games.
Right.
10 and 12 is impossible. No one's taking 11 a.m. lunch. But like, what am I, 65, exactly. You know? Yeah. So I was like, the only way I'm going to watch these games is if I just take the day off. And so I went to the Black Horse Pub. Found out actually that when I posted some photos that a bunch of people who we know on Twitter have actually been there. And you can actually almost tell who's actually listened to the podcast and who hasn't by whether they were like, oh, the Black Horse Pub, do you guys go there too? I watched the morning match, which was the Spain game. And, you know, it was quite an interesting experience. I mean, you know, the first half was nice and tense. You know, both games were 0-0. You know, stakes are pretty high, obviously, because Mexico really couldn't lose, you know. I mean, especially if you assume that Germany would beat South Korea, as, you know, you assume they would. So,
yeah,
you know, Mexico goes down 2-0 in the second half, and basically everyone stops watching that game and starts watching Germany, which is also on the screen there. And, you know, the tension when South Korea scored the first goal, it was, you know, everyone was, you know, it was like a huge relief. And I'd say we live in Brooklyn, you know, it's a pretty strong, and especially where I live, which is very close to Sunset Park, which is a very strong Mexican neighborhood. There were a lot of Mexican fans there. And so, you know, people who are rooting for Mexico anyway.
Yeah.
I have to
stop you right there and just say a little something for all of our Swedish listeners. And I know I do have a mea culpa, because I said on one of our preview podcasts that Sweden actually lost the third place match in the 94 World Cup to Bulgaria, when actually Sweden did hoist the third place trophy. So
there was actual anger after that.
Yeah, I thought they were going to shut us down for real, Josh.
Even Reddit, I know that. Yeah, you got it from all corners after that one.
I deserved it. Full marks to all the Swedes out there. Your team is looking fantastic right now.
So full credit to them. But for the story here. So you know, Sun scores the second goal, and that's when you know it's over. Mexico's through, and you know, everybody is excited and cheering and you know, counting down the minutes. And I look over and there's a guy that I had talked to in the line for the bathroom at halftime. And he's just very friendly. And he was supporting Mexico. He had a kid on. And we were just talking. He was just very nice. And actually, it was funny because at first he said, your team's looking good too. And I think he thought I was German, maybe. I was like,
interesting.
You think I'm German or Sweden? I don't think you think I'm South Korean.
You know, yeah. You're white, I'll give you that. So, but probably more German than Swedish.
I am a little more German than Swedish. So, and I was like, no, I'm actually rooting for Mexico in this game too. And so anyway, I'm watching the game and everybody's celebrating. I'm cheering too, just caught up in the excitement. I look over that guy who's like maybe 5-10 feet away from me, and he looks over at me, he's got tears in his eyes, and he just says it's so beautiful. And I said, yes, it is so beautiful. And when he started crying, then I started crying, because it was so moving, you know. It was just that relief and just like the excitement of it. And it was more than I was just touched, you know. It was just such a touching, like, it's just so cool. Yeah. It's like the World Cup, you just don't get that when, like, I don't know, like, you don't get that even like in a, you know, an exciting Champions League semifinal or something, you know. It's like,
I think there were some Liverpool fans actually crying during the Champions League final.
Even when Aguero scored four goals last spring, I don't remember getting that emotional.
Yeah, I think we should talk a little bit about exactly this, like our favorite way to actually watch World Cup matches, wherever you are. But your story reminds me of one of my favorite moments watching the World Cup in Brooklyn. And it was at Soda Bar in Brooklyn. I think you were actually at this game. It was U.S. v. Ghana. Yep. And we went behind 1-0 to Ghana. And then in the second half, U.S. gets a penalty and Landon Donovan scores the penalty, and Soda Bar is packed to the brim, and the roof just comes off. Like, it's electric. Everyone is losing their minds. It's a euphoric experience. And my wife had tagged along. She's like, oh, you're going to go watch the game. She generally does not have an interest in sports, full stop. But as everyone's losing their collective mind after Landon Donovan scores, I turn around and she has tears streaming down her eyes. And I'm like, what's going on? She really doesn't care. She has no skin in this game. But there is, as you said, there's something about that power of the collective and the magic, cosmic magic of it all.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, I think that it's been a good World Cup. I mean, we're down to the round of 16 right now. You know, just I realize this is a fantasy podcast. This will not be the most fantasy focused podcast we've done. Just full disclosure here. I will say that I wildcarded going into the round three matches, and it was an unmitigated disaster. I mean, I think something like maybe eight of the players that I wildcarded like didn't even make the didn't even like start the game or play any minutes in it. I mean, it was just
You bring Lukaku in? Is that what happened?
Well, Lukaku, Inouye, James Rodriguez limps off in the 23rd minute. I got like negative one. Because there's an own goal from one of my Russian players, and it was just a total disaster. So whatever, it was fine, but it was a good lesson for me, and it got me thinking about why we do the podcast at all. Because for me at least, I know that there are you always hear these stories about the. You know, the guy's wife the coworker who just fields a team and suddenly they're like 83rd in the world, or the guy whose friend joins the league, you know, after watching, you know, the World Cup, and they just get excited about, you know, Premier League, and suddenly they win your league that year, even though you've been working your ass off for years and years. But in general, I think that, you know, I can only be good at this game, like good at like a fantasy sport, if I am all in. Like I have to really do the work. And if I'm like even, and I mean like completely like to the point where I'm doing podcasts like this, right? Or at least like listening to them or reading articles and like really, and I feel like I kind of half-assed my FIFA World Cup team. And just unless I'm totally committed, it's just not fun for me. You know, it's just like I can't can't enjoy it. Now, I don't know. Maybe if I was doing super well, I would feel differently. But I just feel like I kind of rushed it together. I mean, no one really had a lot of time anyway, right? I mean,
that's the thing. Yep. That's the thing. We certainly have listeners that follow many leagues around the world or all the big leagues in Europe. We are focused almost solely on the Premier League. So being able to digest all the players, all the players who play in like Liga MX or who play in Africa, who play in Tunisian East League. Asia and all this. It's very hard to wrap your mind around it. I would echo your sentiments about the FIFA fantasy game, but in a way this World Cup game has been a bit of a relief for me because I feel like the pressure is off. When FPL kicks in, it's all systems go. I think it was our friend Jeremiah Johnson on our Patreon Slack posted a screenshot from the Premier League app saying, "We're going through some maintenance. We're updating for the new season." And my stomach did like a little somersault. Feels like we're still so far away from the new season, but I was getting excited. But anyway, the FIFA game, it's kind of been fun just to try different strategies, see how a different game works. And I am not in a heated rivalry with you, Josh. I am not in a money league with anybody else. So I'm just kind of taking it easy. And it's been more fun than not, for sure.
Yeah, we have our Patreon site, Forget League. You and I did a little snake draft league as well. So, all power to the people who are doing well in the FIFA World Cup game. You know, the stakes are still on for our league, by the way. The winner of our league is still very much invited on to preview a team of their choice we'll get to the top 10 in a minute here. But just for me personally, I feel like I'm a little more focused on the games themselves and the fantasy part of it.
Yeah, I guess the good news is neither Josh nor I will win the Always Cheating FIFA League, so we will not be the guest of honor on one of those preview podcasts.
Right, exactly.
A quick point of news for the cheaters. So, Josh, you inspired me to actually take the day off. So the two of us together are going to be taking Tuesday off to watch World Cup matches, and that is conveniently for a lot of our UK listeners the day of Colombia, England. So that's going to be a huge match. Very excited to be watching that one live. If anyone out there listening wants us to do anything crazy at the Black Horse, you want me to get up on the bar and take my shirt off?
Okay. Yeah, we could do like a Periscope or something like that. Yeah, let us know if you guys want us to do something.
Yeah. So Tuesday is going to be fun. And I guess coming up, we're going to just go through the entire round of 16 matches and give our impressions of be they fantasy assets that have impressed or just which teams collectively we're pulling for or think might tank.
Yeah. So so just as a quick rundown, we're going to look at the round of 16 matches to come. We're going to talk a little more about individual players, our predictions for who's going to win it all right now and who's going to get the golden boot. Run through our Patreon set and forget top 10, FIFA League top 10. Then talk a little bit more about new acquisitions to the Premier League. And if we have time, at the end of the podcast, as long promised, we are going to rank the 11 Star Wars movies, Brandon.
Well, 11?
10? There's 10.
Oh, I thought we were 11. We were going to
11 if you include the Christmas special.
I thought we were going to go through every episode of the Clone Wars cartoon series as well.
So I think we can do all that in about 25 minutes.
I love that. That is a good carrot for all our listeners. Stay tuned for Star Wars. Yeah, power rankings.
A reason to stop listening, before the last 10 minutes. So the round of 16 matches, we've got four on Saturday four teams playing on Saturday. The Saturday games are fantastic. I am really excited about both of them. I mean, France-Argentina Argentina has looked pretty terrible, right? And like a late Marcus Rojo goal was the only thing that propelled them into the round of 16. But I mean, it's not
well,
like
that wasn't
they
the only thing. It was
out.
Also Messi's incredible goal.
Right.
You needed two goals to win a 2-1 game.
Good point.
What would you say about France, though? So Argentina, yes, I think we can all agree it's a troubled squad. But France have looked pretty drab in this World Cup, given the squad that they have.
Yeah, I just think they've been workmanlike. You know, I mean, they really, you know, were in control in the Australia game. They were very much in control in their second round match. Then they just really had nothing to play for in the match yesterday.
I think it's going to come down to all sports cliches will converge on this match, right? It's Argentina with the passion and France ultimately with the medal. And if you go back to the finals of Euro 2016, France were by far a superior squad if you take Ronaldo out of Portugal, which actually did happen in that Euro final, and France just could not get it done. So I think the question still remains with this squad if they have the medal.
Yeah, I'm still pretty positive about this France team. It's one game. So, I mean, could Messi or somebody else, ever Benega, you know, could he take over? I mean, sure. But I think that France is a pretty clear favorite in this match. And I'd be surprised if Argentina won, just given.
Would you?
It's hard to think that in 4 days they're just going to totally turn around.
Yeah. But would you? So I'm going to wild card in my FIFA team going into the round of 16. Would you recommend that I get any French players in my wild card side? Because they've got a lot of tremendous goal scorers with Mbappe and Dembele. Go ahead and throw Giroud, my looky-likey, in that group.
Griezmann, right?
Yeah, and of course, Antoine Griezmann. Do you think they're going to score many goals against this Argentina side?
Sure. I mean, everyone scores goals in Argentina, right? I mean, that defense is not good. Of the 16 teams in the round of 16, I mean, do they have maybe the second worst defense? Maybe Japan's defense is worse. I mean, it's not a strong defense. I mean, they're individual players who are pretty good, I guess. But I would think that France may lose, but I think they're going to score at least two goals in this match.
Sure. So Griezmann would be the way to go there, given that he's on penalties, I think.
I think so. I mean, yeah, it's interesting. I mean, you know, Pogba's been really attacking in this team. And I mean, you and I in our preview podcast, we're sort of saying don't bring in Pogba. He's not a great fantasy asset. But I don't know. I'm starting to – I kind of like him a little bit as an asset. I don't really – his ownership isn't super high. And I mean, he's certainly going to play, right? So,
Okay, so thoughts on Uruguay, Portugal. This is basically Ronaldo versus the so far best defense in the World Cup.
Yeah, I think this is a really tricky one to call. I think, Uruguay, you know, won all three of their matches. I mean, they looked really strong. They finally looked good in the third match, right? Like they finally put it all together. It doesn't feel like they're a great team, does it? Like, for a team that won all three of their games,
well,
I don't know. I mean,
they kept I'll tell you what they sheets. Feel like. They feel like a World Cup team. They feel like a team that don't leak many goals. Okay, so the stat that was making the rounds today, I think, was that no World Cup winning side, at least in the last 50 years, has let in more than three goals in the group stages, I'm no statistician, but if you take that as fact, then Uruguay have let in no goals. So they're a very World Cup-y side in that they have a pretty watertight defense, and they have two great goal scorers. Now, Cavani has looked a little strange this World Cup so far, but between Suarez and Cavani, you'll get a goal presumably out of them. So if you keep a clean sheet and I think they are right up there with teams that could win the World Cup at this point. So
it's just hard to tell. I mean, they played an Egypt team without Mo Salah, you know, they barely won that game. You know, they played a Saudi Arabia team that stinks, right? I mean, you know, really one of the worst outside of the CONCACAF teams, you know, one of the worst teams in the World Cup. And then they played Russia, who Russia's like a hard team to assess. I mean, I think that they're riding the kind of home team momentum. But I don't think anyone thinks they're a great squad either. So it's hard to rate them. I mean, well, you know, Portugal to me is like a team that just like the squad is not so radically different from the Euro 2016 squad. You know, I think that they're probably the favorites in this game.
Well, so not to beat a dead horse here, I think this applies to all the teams that we're going to talk about. But what another facet of the World Cup-y team theory is no international football is just it's a strange game. Like no team ever looks like fantastic unless like you're Spain in 2010 in a couple of matches, but they had to grind out you know many results in that World Cup. It's a tournament that rewards teams that, you know, they don't, it's not like you look like Pep Guardiola's Manchester City coming right out of the gates. It's all just workmanlike getting it done. So that is why I side with Uruguay here.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, I think you could say the same thing about Portugal. You know, if Portugal were in the bottom half of the draw, they'd probably be my pick to make the finals. You know, so I do think, I wouldn't be surprised if either team won, I guess. There's my like reasoned assessment.
Fair enough.
So then, moving down the bracket, we've got amazing Monday morning game. I think I'm going to take an 11 a.m. lunch to go watch the second half.
It's heartbreaking to have to miss this match.
Yeah. Brazil, Mexico, 10 a.m. You know, okay, so interesting thing about the Brazil game. I was watching, I watched that game. It was one of the matches I watched yesterday. I moved bars. I went from the Black Horse Bar to the Greenwood Park, which is another bar in the South Park Slope neighborhood in Brooklyn.
That's more free advertising here on the Always Cheating Podcast.
That's right. So I was watching Brazil-Serbia. You know, you and I had been – we had one hit and one miss, right? We talked about how Germany was in trouble and we – and then we big up to Serbia and Serbia ultimately, really, I mean, if Serbia just hadn't, if they just held on for a point in that,
the Switzerland game
in the Switzerland game, you know, everything could have been different, but
yeah. And, I mean, that Switzerland game was certainly in the first half. It was Serbia's for the taking and that, exactly. Like them not getting anything out of that game was the end of their World Cup. It's just incredibly deflating for that squad.
So I was watching Brazil play Serbia, you know, pretty important game. I mean, Brazil could have actually, you know, gone on to the World Cup. They lost that match. And so, you know, Brazil's creating chances and it's not happening in the 20-minute mark, 30-minute mark. And I'm like, oh, they're going to rue all of these missed chances. And then as the match went on and they just kept creating chances and ultimately scoring goals, I was like, they're not going to rue anything. They're just kicking their ass. You know, it's just like it was a total one-sided performance. And it wasn't like they were playing Germany or something. They were just a better team that was just eventually going to score a bunch of goals because they were just better. I mean, they scored two. They could have scored five.
Brazil plays like they're in the Nike commercial that they're in. There's no sense of urgency. They all have smiles on their faces. They're playing like they're just mugging for the camera. Like, sure, we'll win. This is a Nike commercial, right?
Yeah. So it was a pretty impressive game when I finally tilted my head in the right direction. And I think Mexico is in trouble. I like Mexico. I think I'll be kind of rooting for Mexico in this game just because they're the underdog. And but I do like this. I don't know how I feel about this Brazil squad. This is like it's like a personality thing for me. I can't deal with the emotion. Like I can't deal with the fans. They keep like showing on the sidelines who are chewing their hands and mm-hmm. you know, crying because they're not up enough. And it's just like it's all like it's like everyone just calm down a little bit. It's just like it's like a little much for me to handle.
Yeah, I do feel for your friend from the Black Horse, the Mexico fan who was crying tears of joy. What?
Well, that's the end of the match. But I mean, like, you know, no, but, I mean, like
what I'm saying. Yeah. What I'm saying is I feel for him in that they went from the highest of highs after that Germany demolition, just becoming the darlings of the World Cup like so early, and then turning around and getting demolished by Sweden. I mean, there was another great performance by Mexico in between those two matches. I understand that it's that Mexico curse of the round of 16, but I really would love for this tale to keep going for Mexico. This is going back to my cosmic magical thinking of football. This is there is no there are no this is not a, an analysis of any kind. I understand that, but I'm rooting for Mexico
too. I think that might be the case with this Brazil game as well. I mean, you know, Paulinho just the whole team looks really sad. Gabriel Jesus is the only player who I do wonder if you could put Firmino into that Jesus spot and I know. Yeah.
I don't think it's a huge downgrade from Jesus. I don't know if anyone would argue with that. So the question I have is Neymar worth a punt on a wild card going into the round of 16? I've been with Coutinho through the first three match days of the World Cup, and he's paid off pretty well with two goals and an assist. Probably want to stick with Coutinho here and just trying to formulate in my head what kind of strategy Mexico is going to go for, how defensive they're going to have to be.
Yeah, I don't know that they're capable of being all that defensive. So, yeah. I mean, I guess, I don't know. I mean, they kept Germany, you know, from scoring in their first game, but, and they're I guess they're kind of a counterattacking team, but I don't know. I mean, they conceded three goals to Sweden and it wasn't, that was a game where they just needed to not concede any goals, and they conceded three of them. So that doesn't exactly inspire a ton of confidence.
I think I might go all in with Brazil on a wild card. Yeah. So
11
then
Belgium, Brazilians, Brandon. That's too many.
Yeah, too many. Speaking of all in, I'll probably go all in on Belgium as well. They face off with Japan in the other Monday fixture. Do you feel like every pundit out there is just constantly equivocating with Belgium? No one wants to come out and say they actually have a chance of winning the World Cup. I mean,
I guess it's just like we haven't seen it. You know, it's they made the quarterfinals of the 2014 World Cup. You know, they were disappointed in the 2016 Euros. It's like everyone thinks they're talented. I mean, it's crazy how talented they are. You know, I was actually thinking about that team, and I was kind of running through. I was just thinking about how loaded they were a couple of days ago, and I was in my head. I was like, oh yeah, it's crazy. And they have the two Spurs center backs. And I was like, oh yeah. And who's their keeper? And I couldn't remember who it was for a second. I was like, oh, right. Thibaut Courtois. It was like, you know, one of the five best keepers in the world.
Is it Simon Mignolet perhaps?
Yeah, exactly. Like Thibaut Courtois is an amazing keeper, right? He'd be starting for, many of the teams in the round of 16. And he's like, you know, maybe the seventh best player and they're starting 11, you know? So it's, I mean, I would maybe not that, maybe he's higher than that, but you know, it's just, it's a very loaded starting 11. And, I don't know. Yeah. I guess it's just, you know, it's like these are all, it's all these players who have been frustrating to us over the years, right? Like Eden Hazard is brilliant, but can kind of take some games off, and Romelu Lukaku can be a little passive as well. And, you know, and so I don't know. I mean, it's like you were saying, like every team has some flaws, but it's just like, we've never seen this Belgium team like just run the table. And so maybe it's just until they do it, it's hard to feel confident about it.
Well, I do think we're seeing it though. I mean, you can talk about the competition in their group. Maybe it was less than impressive. Maybe their defense hasn't been tested, but as you're saying, they have a fantastic defense with Alderweireld and Vertonghen. And
I'll put you in the spot. Do you think they beat Brazil in the quarterfinals?
Yes, absolutely. I think they could.
Okay. All right.
And,
well, I like
and,
it.
Yeah. So I guess maybe I don't want to be the Premier League fanboy. Belgium, I think, has always been sort of the Premier League fanboy team because they have all these really sexy Premier League players, from Hazard to De Bruyne to the defenders we're talking about. Lukaku looks great. You know, poor little out for Christian Benteke. I mean, had he scored one more goal for Crystal Palace this last season, you think he gets a look at this Belgium squad?
I don't know. I don't think so. Japan, we don't think Japan can do anything, right?
They've been a lot of fun to watch, but we wish them the best. Thanks for playing, Japan.
They lucked into that round of 16, right? It should be Senegal. A much more fun Senegal. Agreed. Well, I don't know. I mean, Japan is like, it's a fun team because it's like full of players that you kind of half know, you know, like Kisuke Honda, but
Yeah, or Shinji Kagawa.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So let's go back in time. We talked about these Monday fixtures. We went from Saturday to Monday. Now back in time to Sunday, Spain facing off against Russia, and the other matches, Croatia, Denmark. I guess quickly on Spain, this goes back to the World Cup-y team theory. Is Spain the Germany that just got out of their group where Germany did not? Is Spain World Cup-y enough to still win the World Cup?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, a late Cristiano Ronaldo free kick away from being pretty easily, you know, out of their group, right? With minimal problems, you know? So, I mean, they look pretty complete in some ways. Their defense, I can't remember how many goals they're conceding. It's weird how many goals they're conceding for how good the players are in their defense. And I don't really know why they're not. I mean, especially because like so many of them have that Real Madrid connection.
Well, okay. So this is strange. This is another World Cup theory I'm cultivating here. It's like, yep. Pique and Sergio Ramos, they go through very extensive club campaigns with Real Madrid and Barcelona. These guys are just playing nonstop. Fatigue does happen. They're both World Cup winners. Is this anything more than I'm about to suggest what I don't want to suggest, that they don't have complete and utter love for their country and their badge, but are they not just on vacation? Like, They're not playing up to their fullest potential.
I think that the drive that makes you world class is, I don't know if you can like turn that off, you know. I don't know. I mean, I think I don't know. I don't know that I would say that. I think that it's I don't know. It's not clicking for some reason, but I guess I don't know that I can explain why Spain's defense isn't better. It really should be. I mean, they have De Gea in goal, right? It's like, it's crazy.
Yeah. Who's looked pretty ordinary in this World Cup.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, they have won everything you can win. So maybe there is like a little, like it just like, a, like yeah. there needs to be like a new generation of you know, a completely new generation of you know, players to come in and kind of replace the 2010 class or something. But I mean, which is definitely happening, but I don't know. It is a little, they should be better, but I still feel pretty good about it. And they have to be the favorite to come out of their half of the draw, right? I mean, you look, you know, top to bottom, you know, I mean, maybe, I don't know. I mean, do you think, you know, England maybe, you know, could, you know, beat them in the semifinals, but I mean,
what a fantastic semifinal. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, Croatia looks really good too.
Okay. Well, last on Spain, I will just say, like, I've been riding PK on my FIFA squad, definitely looking to ditch Spain defense. But Isco is one that I think that's come good and one to look at for your fantasy side.
It was 8.5 million too. It's pretty affordable.
Yeah. So right, Croatia. You know, no one knew what to make of these guys at the start of the World Cup, and here they are, three convincing victories out of three. You know, another dark horse candidate to get to the semifinal. Assuming they beat Spain.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Luka Modric, right, is just like so fantastic. And this is like a team, they're kind of like Belgium, right, where they've just like, they've played together for a long time. A lot of people have felt very good about them, felt very good about their chances, and it does feel like they finally put it together in this World Cup. So it would not surprise me at all if Croatia actually made the World Cup final. I mean, I'm not predicting that, but it wouldn't be like a total shocker, that's for sure.
Yeah, a lot of people are talking about the combination between Perisic and Modric. So both of them in the midfield clicking is, and, you know, Mandzukic has not even had to come in to the equation to get Croatia over the finish line. So it's Perisic looks like a great goal scorer for them right now if you're looking to get a Croatian asset.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, Russia, is there anything we need to say about them? I mean, it's, they lost so badly to Uruguay, it's like taken away a little of their thunder, I think.
Yeah.
Do we think that, do you think they could beat Spain?
No, I really don't. I think that they, and I think that they'll probably consider this a really, I don't know how patronizing this is, but how could this not be considered a pretty decent success for this Russian side, totally unrated as the host nation, and really put on a show for their home fans the first two matches. Right. So Russia, take a bow. I'm pretty sure they'll go out to Spain. And, you know, that who's the big boy that they put up front, number 22, double deuce?
Is that Cheryshov?
Zhuba. Sorry, Zhuba is double deuce's name. So, you know, how much gas does that guy have left in the tank?
It's hard to say. I mean, it's almost perfect for them, right? Because they play Spain. There's, you know, there's no shame in losing to Spain. Like, if it's like a 2-0 defeat, yeah, like you said, it is not a national tragedy. They made the round of 16. It's all good. And you know, it seems like there's been no issues at the World Cup either. So it's like it's all been fine. And then Denmark, I mean, I guess we, you know, just for Christian Eriksen alone, you've got it's interesting, actually, Croatia and Denmark, you've got like sort of, it's like a great midfield battle in that game.
Yeah, I do find it very fascinating how Eriksen, wonderful player, but if we're talking about Christian Eriksen on Spurs while we're doing FPL season, Eriksen is always on the margins. We're like, well, he's on set pieces. Suddenly it's the World Cup and people are like, all right, Portugal has Cristiano Ronaldo and Denmark has Christian Eriksen. He's a wonderful player. He's not a world beater.
I don't know. I mean, he kind of is, though. I mean, like, he was basically created the first goal in their first win over Peru. You know, scored, was it the only goal in their win in their second round match? You know, so I don't know. I think he's pretty solid. I mean, they just didn't want to like lose in the France game. So,
I don't want to suggest that he's not solid. But you know, the goal he creates in the first game, like he just waits for the exact right moment to release the pass, which is a laudable skill. Great.
Right. Kind of runs with the ball. He's not too. Out. I mean, yeah. I don't know. He's like a long ball to him that he kind of runs with. He creates the chance.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm arguing. I don't know why I'm arguing about Christian Eriksen.
You hate Christian Eriksen. He's not your kind of player. You don't like Northern European creative midfielders.
I alienate all of our Swedish listeners. Now I'm alienating all of our Danish listeners.
All right, let's move on to the bottom half.
I think
half
we can
the,
agree. This, it's Croatia's match to lose. Let's move on to the bottom.
I would think so too. Yeah, bottom half. You and I, we've got a great appetizer before the. So these are the games that you and I will be watching together. Sweden, Switzerland. It's kind of a fun match, right? Because it's like, who knows? You know, it's like, you know, Sweden has been pretty underrated this entire tournament. I mean, they've really played quite well. Did an extremely impressive win over Mexico when they needed it. And, you know, honestly, I mean, the Germany game, did you hear this whole thing about how they were kind of like a fire was lit under them after the Germany game? Cause I guess like they were the Germans, some members of the German team were taunting, the Swedish after they lost that game. And so like, they were like, oh, like, I don't just like, I don't know, like just kind of like, you know, just taunting them. And, after Germany went out of the World Cup, like a bunch of them took to Twitter to be like, well, like given how they behaved against us at the end of that game, you know, like harm is coming back to you. And I was like, wow, like,
Harm is coming back to you.
It just seems so un-German to taunt. Like, I was very surprised.
Yeah, I guess I did hear the Swedish manager groaning about how Germany was unsportsmanlike. I didn't hear the whole story of what this taunting actually was.
I don't know the whole story either, but it's I do think that's so. I have this theory about Shaqiri too, that like with he's got this facial hair now. Have you seen this? Like, he's got like a little like kind of mustachey thing going on. It's more developed than it was even during the regular season, I think, with Stoke.
Okay, I want to know where this is going. Where are you going with this?
He looks like an actual fox. Like, he looks like a fox that like was like in a, like a lab and was like given some kind of weird steroid and amped up. But he still has this very small face, and so he looks like a mutant fox, is what I'm saying.
He's part of the Guardians of the Galaxy or something like this.
Yeah, exactly. He's like Rocket Raccoon.
I cannot look at Shaqiri and not picture a guy wearing a bandit mask with one of those like comically stuffed bags of cash with a dollar sign on the
outside. Maybe he looks more like a raccoon, actually. You know, raccoons have
bandit masks. He looks like a beagle boy. Any fans of DuckTales out there, he does look like a beagle boy.
So he's amazing, though. You know, as anyone, longtime listeners know that I love all short players, and this is why the Peru team not making the round of 16 is a national tragedy. But I love short Shaqiri. He's just so ridiculous. He's just like, oh, and I also love Steven Lichtsteiner is amazing.
Yeah, I saw your tweet about this, that he's got a bit of an attitude that you
just
enjoy.
Screams at everybody. I mean, it's amazing. He just runs around screaming at people. You know, and like
hey, if I know anything about Arsenal and their relationship with Alexis Sanchez, Arsenal players love people screaming at them.
But it was different because it was more, it wasn't like, he wasn't screaming at his own teammates. He was screaming at the other team. And he was screaming at the ref, and he was just mad. Yeah, it was amazing. Like, he's so competitive. And he's just fun. I mean, like, I know he's like going to be 35 or whatever next season, but Arsenal need a guy like him. I love his fire. So, I kind of like the Sweden team or the Switzerland team. I think that they're kind of funny. Yeah. I forget that they're like ranked sixth in the world in FIFA too, which is so crazy. I mean, they're not like some like 47th ranked underdog team. You know, they've got plenty of wins under their belt, you know, as a collective.
Yeah. The star fantasy player though is on Sweden, Granqvist, who's now scored two beautifully struck penalties and clean sheets on top of them. And this is the secret that us having never played a fantasy tournament game before, I now understand that the secret to success is captaining a defender. So had I the forethought to captain penalty taking Granqvist,
or even just captaining or just bringing in penalty takers, right? Because especially with VAR, you know, I mean, there's been more penalties.
Oh, God,
than this,
now we know.
Yeah, there's already been more penalties in this World Cup than any previous World Cup. So, that was clearly that's the kind of thing you don't learn when you have to profile 32 teams in 6 days or whatever, however fast we had with the FIFA game. Colombia, England, final game on Tuesday. I think a lot of people think that England, I'm sure England is a slight betting favorite to win this match, but it's, I think they are actually, I think it's like a 60, it's like two, maybe 2-1. I think it's, I don't know. What do you think? I mean, are you interested in any fantasy assets in England? Is there anyone you'd think about bringing in? Harry Kane or,
I'll tell you what, it takes a lot for me to like quickly fall in love, but I fell hard for Colombia when they played against Poland in their second game. Granted, Poland basically was not there. They were like in some sort of virtual simulation of a football game, but Colombia were just absolutely electric, and they just look sensational. James Rodriguez plays that amazing ball to Cuadrado. And it was funny, like right before Cuadrado scores that goal, I was making some joke on our Patreon Slack of, you thought Pogba can't shoot. I really don't even know how to put into words what the deal is with Juan Cuadrado. And then he goes and he scores a very composed counterattacking goal. So I think there are a lot of players to consider on this Colombian team. That said, I'm with you. I kind of favor England to put in a composed performance here and possibly negate the Colombian attack.
Yeah, it really just depends.
I guess what I'm saying is I'm trying to temper my enthusiasm for my new girlfriend that is Colombia.
Well, it depends on, you know, James Rodriguez, you know, limped off in whatever it was, the 25th minute.
I believe it's a thigh injury that's been reoccurring for him. So the one worrying thing is it's a reoccurrence of an old injury.
Yeah, I agree. Because in that second match, he was unbelievably good. He just looked like, he looked like a fantastic, exactly the playmaking person that we saw in 2014. There was somebody, I think it was Gunner Blog, which is an Arsenal blog. He's also on the Ars Blog podcast, which is a great podcast. And he was talking about how he like basically only watches James Rodriguez in the World Cup. So he's convinced. He's like, so I think that James Rodriguez is the greatest player in the world, because if you only watch him in the World Cup, you're like, this is the greatest player. And you're like, what's happened in the last 4 years? Well, he kind of kicked around Real Madrid, got injured, and he was at Bayern. He was okay. I hope he's healthy, because this idea that like England can like play a bunch of mediocre teams on the way to the final. I mean, you kind of want them to play some good teams, right? It's just, it's more fun to like.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. You want to beat the best. I mean, it's, you know, I can understand wanting like an easy match in the round of, you know, into the quarterfinals or something. But, you know, I think that if I'm England, I kind of want to play Spain in the semis and really just, you know, just beat them, you know, and just prove that you're better.
Yeah. I do think Harry Kane is a great prospect for a fantasy side with England. He got his rest. I don't know. Do you root for Jamie Vardy in those situations? Like, really want Vardy to get a goal and really prove himself on the World Cup stage. What a moment.
I just like Jamie Vardy. So I always kind of root for him, but, no, I don't really care. I mean, he scored goals and for England, you know, so it's fine. He won a league. Yeah. You know, he's good.
What about John? So John Stones with a brace. I guess he was basically left to do whatever he wanted on various set pieces. But if you were going to bring in an English defender, who would it be?
I don't know. Maybe Harry Maguire, actually. I don't know. I mean, I guess possibly Kyle Walker, although Kyle Walker hasn't had a great World Cup so far. I mean, he didn't play.
I feel like Kyle Walker has kind of been, he's kind of been screwed being put in a back three, because his, where he's most effective, as we've seen with City and with Spurs, is wing play. He's using his pace down the flanks, and I don't see him with a great amount of scoring potential on set pieces if you stack him up against Harry Maguire and John Stones, right?
Yeah, that's a good point. I guess I was just thinking about the solidity of his starts. There's like no way he's not going to start, but and I guess Cahill could, in theory, bump one of those two players. I don't know. Maybe Kieran Trippier, actually, if you think he's going to play all those games.
Great call there. I think that might actually be the way to go. So Harry Kane, he's on 5 goals now. So getting to Eric Medbo's question I see here, who are you tipping to win the Golden Boot? So right before the knockout stages start, we can make these calls.
Yeah, I think, so who do you think is going to win it all? Who do you think is going to win the Golden Boot? My prediction for the Golden Boot is, I guess I'll go with Ronaldo. I'm not going to like make a super bold pick here. I'm going to pick someone who's got like already at least 4 goals. I was debating between Ronaldo and, I don't know, Ronaldo, Kane, and Lukaku all have like a decent shot, right? Sort of like whichever of those, you know, whichever of those.
Lukaku's on 4 as well.
Semifinals. Yep. Ronaldo's on 4, Lukaku's on 4, and Kane's on 5. Own goal is obviously the clear favorite here, right? I think own goal is on 7.
Yeah, right. So do I have this right? Diego Costa is still on 2 goals because the goal he kind of quote unquote scored in the second match is an OG.
I guess so. Yeah, the Paul Pogba goal went down as an old goal too in the first game against France, which I don't remember that looking like an own goal, but did it hit the back of the goalkeeper or something? It was, I don't know, that was a strange one.
I don't recall. I mean, speaking of the Brian Ruiz penalty that went down as a keeper own goal.
Well, that was, believe that? For sure. Yeah.
I mean, yes, obviously it's just like incredible bad luck if you're the keeper there.
It's amazing. I mean, VR and own goals are going to be like the two things we'll always remember about this World Cup. But it's so so fantastic.
I'm going to back Lukaku for the golden boot. The Punisher, the troll himself, Romelu Lukaku for the golden boot.
All right, and who do you think is going to win it all? If you had to pick one of these 16 teams.
Okay, so I guess this goes against the Lukaku pick. I'm just maybe Lukaku does it, but now if I'm looking at Uruguay to win it all, you're going to see a few more goals from Luis Suarez. I do wonder if Suarez could sneak in there with, you know, if you're looking at a final golden boot tally of 6, 7, 8 goals, they're still time for Luis Suarez to do that. I don't know who's going to win it all. I've got it down to four. I've got Uruguay, Belgium, Spain, and Croatia. Let's say, sorry, all you England fans out there.
It's coming.
I don't know. Right, I'm just going to back Belgium. I'm going to have fun. It's going to be a fun pick for me.
All right. I'm going to stick with Spain. Spain was the team I predicted in the last week's podcast. You know, if you were just betting of these 16 teams, I think they're the team that you'd want to bet because they have the easiest draw to the final. And then once they're in the final, you know, sort of, you know, you'll take your odds there. I think, you know, I mean, Brazil have looked really solid, but, you know, Brazil's going to have to beat, you know, a feisty Mexico team. They're going to beat Belgium. They're going to beat somebody between, I mean, honestly, it's somebody between France, Argentina, Uruguay, and Portugal. Those are all going to be tough matches, and they'll have to play whoever they face in the final. So, you know, definitely not a really tough draw for everybody in the top half. You know, I mean, you can understand why England feels, I don't know. I mean, it was, did you like pay attention to the game today? Like, were you like,
it was such a boring game. I was in a meeting the entire time.
Yeah, it was a total drag. I mean, it was just like, they didn't want to, I mean, it was just like, it was just your classic. Everyone knows what happened in that game.
Well, when the team sheets came out, you knew it was a battle of who could care less. So
yeah, exactly. Like the Ben Folds 5 song. Brennan, let's take a break and come back and and then just wrap up the podcast. We already talked for 50 minutes. Sure. That's insane. All right, let's come right back.
Same old podcast, always cheating.
Brandon, we're back. We've got a couple top 10s to run through. The first is our Patreon Set and Forget top 10. If you've made it this far into the podcast, then you are definitely the kind of person that we would love to have as a patron. We'd love to talk to you on our Patreon Slack. We'd love you to join all of our private leagues. We have a lot of different Patreon leagues, all of which offer different prizes. The current one, the Set and Forget, the winner is going to get $100 gift card. The top 10 starts like this. I'm gonna start at the bottom. Sean Comiskey, Eric Freeman, who has made the leap into World Cup expert. When did he become such a savant? It's crazy. I've always loved Eric's Twitter feed, but he's like a guy's on top of everything.
He was all over Godin before the tournament started. Well done on that call, Eric.
Yeah. Brent Voorhees, Daniel King, Pratik Mali, Josh Landon, Jesse Halstead, William Syme, Ricardo Antunes, and Lou Gutierrez. Congrats to
three-way tie Lou at the top there.
Yeah, exactly. Lou, Ricardo, and William all tied for third, and then Josh Landon, I'm tied with Jesse just below them. So I don't know if I don't know if I can actually win or not. I need to go look at the points, and maybe I need like Croatia to run the table or something.
I'm not giving you $100 gift card, Josh. That's just not going to happen.
all right, let's hear the FIFA League top 10, Brandon.
Okay, so everyone playing the McDonald's FIFA game, you can still join our league, I think. Our league code is in the show notes of this podcast, so just jump to the show notes and click the join link. Running through the top 10 real quick, we have a four-way tie for ninth place. So we'll start at the bottom with FPL Physio, Andre 787, Price Change, and Adam Pritch, all on a 193-point total. Then in eighth place, it's Era 3D2. Seventh, Link Gassman, or LNK Gassman. I like that name, Gassman. Fill her up, Link. Sixth place, it's Mongoose 888. Fifth place, John Mount. Fourth, Mark McGettigan, the FPL general. We all know him and love him. Well done, Mark. Just a natural fantasy player, isn't he?
Truly.
Yeah, truly. Third place, Floyd F. In second, Kuden 88. And in first place, jumping to first place with a total of 211 overall points, it's Tom Ob Hoy. Ireland's lost sons. So well done, Tom Ob Hoy.
It's got to be Tom Ob Hoy, right?
Tom Ob Hoy? It's the H after the B there that throws me.
Exactly. Yeah, Tom Ob Hoy, come on to Twitter and explain your name, explain yourself. Tom Ob Hoy, if you do win, then you will be invited on the podcast this fall, or I should say maybe late summer, to do a team preview of a Premier League team of your choice. That applies to anybody who finishes first in our FIFA league. So congrats to everybody.
Before we take off, Josh, we've got some FPL new acquisitions. So since we last potted, it's kind of startling how much transfer news is happening while we should all be focused on the World Cup. But here we are. there are not major FPL implications, but some minor ones here. We'll start with transfers in. Lucas Fabianski leaving relegated Swansea to go keep at West Ham. So I think we all have complicated relationships with Fabianski via FPL. you kind of have him during the good times and also during the bad. He kind of is ever present in our FPL sides.
Sure.
And I think this is why, right? He at Swansea regularly priced at 4.5 or thereabouts. So the question of with him coming into FPL this season on West Ham is at 4.5, he's going to be a steal. But in all likelihood, he's going to be priced at 5.0.
Right. Classic scenario. I don't know if I like him at 5.0 on West Ham. Their defense looked better at the end of last season. It seems like they finally started to figure things out a little bit. Masuaku even started to play well after.
Yeah. They lost Winston Reid to a bad injury. That could not have helped the central defense. He's kind of a talismanic figure for them back there.
Yeah. I feel like Cresswell played a little better on the stretch, too. So. I don't know. I mean, what's surprising about Fabianski is he's 33 years old, which so, I don't know. Does that feel old to you? I was like, thought he was a little younger than that. 33. That's like he's like a year younger than Peter Cech.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, he's sort of in FPL years much younger than that. But these guys, particularly these keepers, another one we can talk about is the new transfer into Crystal Palace, a 31-year-old Spanish goalkeeper. Vincent Guaita, and he comes from the La Liga side Getafe, a club which, you know, I know you're a huge Getafe supporter, Josh. They finished eighth in La Liga. I mean, eighth seems pretty good for a La Liga side.
Mm-hmm. Better than ninth through 20th.
That's a fact. So Guaita probably comes to Crystal Palace just to wear the number one shirt. I mean, Palace didn't have great luck with Hennessy last season. Speroni was even coming in to fill
Lewis. I believe this was a move that was actually kind of set up in the January transfer window. And then I think Getafe couldn't get a replacement keeper in time. And so they were actually it was an offseason move. But I know that this is a guy who's been lined up there. I think he's highly regarded keeper. I can't pretend that I've seen a bunch of Getafe games and can comment on him. So, I don't know. 31-year-old Spanish goalkeeper. I think you should comment anyway, though. I mean, he's played at some of the, absolute, toughest strikers in the league. So, or in the world. So, I think, interesting option at 4.5 million. And I don't know that he would be 5 million. I don't know how you could price him at 5 million given his lack of Premier League experience and given how mediocre Crystal Palace played for most of last season.
Well, I mean, but this will be Roy Hodgson's team coming into the season. And of course, he is traditionally a very defensively organized manager. You do wonder if Palace will weirdly be a defensive powerhouse in the mid-table season under Hodgson.
A mid-table version of a powerhouse.
that's not meant to be a backhanded compliment at Palace. Sure. I mean, they showed quite a bit of grit to get from like the worst
City
team in the league.
The mid-table.
Yeah, Exactly. We should give a shout out to Fabianski though for having a clean sheet in the World Cup against Japan. So good on
sure,
him.
Sure.
Good on him. Man.
James Madison to Leicester City. Brandon, they say there are no second acts in American life, but the fourth president of the United States is now going to be a midfielder for Leicester City. 21 years old, Norwich City's player of the season last year with 15 goals and 46 appearances. Pretty highly regarded player in general. I know that some people on Twitter were sort of big upping him and talking about him. I mean, do you remember him at all from, you know, watching Fulham matches last year? Does Fulham stand out?
Yeah, Fulham's opening match of last season was against Norwich, and Madison. I don't really remember him. He didn't stick out in my mind, but I was kind of more trying to just
figure out who was on Fulham.
it was more like Norwich had a whole new cast of characters last season, and Madison himself was a new player. He had been like a professional loanee for a couple seasons prior to
200
being
years
on Norwich. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, this is the sequel for Hamilton that we've been waiting for a long time.
It's James Madison. That's true, actually. He died during during Jefferson's presidency. Madison was president 4 years later. Florin Andone to Brighton and Hove Albion, a 25-year-old Romanian striker from Deportivo La Coruña. 6 goals and 30 appearances last season. Brandon, this guy screams 5.5 million, doesn't he?
yeah. And as everyone knows, 5.5, that's a no-go. That is a definite no-go. You're going to have to show me more than 6 goals to be a 5.5 player in my squad.
Right, exactly. 6 goals and 30 appearances, that's not like the world's greatest strike rate either. So I say Florin Anodyne, Brandon.
All right, two more transfers in to mention. Leon, sorry, Leon, I'm going to butcher your name. Bologun, he's also moving to Brighton Hove Albion, and we've recently seen Leon in the World Cup. 30-year-old central defender for Nigeria, and Nigeria's defense, for the most part, looked. I don't know. How would you assess Nigeria's defense? I thought he looked decent.
it's like you don't want to commit to saying they look solid.
Yeah, you say something, Josh.
That whole team, I think, was kind of disappointing, but I thought their defense was fine. I don't know. I wasn't impressed by their defense in that Croatia game, but the whole team was a little slow in that game. So I don't know. Yeah, I mean, 30-year-old central defender, another Brighton player, it's... who knows?
The scary thing about this transfer is, does this mean we're moving beyond our Dunk Duffy world?
Yeah.
If you could count on anything last season, it was three. It could be three at the back.
The final transfer in is Stuart Armstrong to Southampton. He's a 26-year-old Scottish midfielder from Celtic. 4 goals and 39 appearances last season. He did play with a recurring knee injury, however. Southampton, their talent acquisition tends to be very solid. I mean, I think the last player they brought from Celtic was Virgil van Dijk. But he is 26 years old. So I feel like typically, you really want to trust them when they bring in like a 20. I mean, hey, look at Jan Benderek, right? I mean, that was a acquisition that they brought in who scored Poland's only goal today. So, I think in general, I give Southampton the benefit of the doubt when it comes to basically all of their transfers, at least the transfers in. I quibble with their transfers out sometimes.
like for example, Dusan Tadic. Dusan Tadic announcing this week that he's moving to Ajax.
Yeah, it's Tadic is gone. Emre Can is gone. And the big one, Brandon, Wayne Rooney to DC United. Adam P says, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much weight will Rooney gain during his first season at DC United?
I was joking with Adam on the Slack that, lest ye forget, the United States is the home of light beer. So maybe Rooney will become the most fit he's ever been just by discovering Bud Light or Miller Light.
I don't know. DC is like a bit of a food town. So, I mean, if he likes the classy restaurants, I don't know. I mean, he's going to be away from home though, too, right? I mean, this is, you know, Wayne Rooney is, you know, it, you know, North London, or not North London, he's a Northerner. So, you know, is the culture in DC, is he going to like it? I mean, does anyone like it right now?
It's are you suggesting he's going to eat his feelings while he's in DC? He's going to be sad and homesick, and he's just going to balloon.
If you moved across the world, Brandon, you're isolated, you'd always lived in one other place, wouldn't you eat out more often? Wouldn't you, you know?
Yep.
I'd probably
eat delivery in. I wouldn't go out. I wouldn't leave the house. I'd get food delivered to me.
So he's going to look like he did in that Nike commercial from a few years ago, where the one where he missed the, you know, where he gave away the ball and then it like flashed forward to where he was, you know, 10 years
ago. Living in a trailer park with a big old beard.
Exactly. He's going to be living in Georgetown with a big old beard.
He should have never gotten that hair transplant, and he should have just grown a giant, like, well, I'm sailing around the world beard.
Did you see the photo of him in the airplane on his way to D.C.? He didn't have a hair on his body. It was bizarre. Yeah. I mean, he looked like an alopecia. It was so strange. All the hair is gone now. I don't know if it was like a condition of going to the U.S. as he couldn't have any hair or something. It was very strange. You look up this photo if you haven't seen it. It's disturbing.
Well, I have long had body hair conspiracies about Wayne Rooney. He always insists on wearing long sleeves, even when it's like, you know, 100 degrees Fahrenheit outside. And I don't think it's because he has incredibly offensive tattoos. I think he's just ashamed of copious amounts of upper arm hair.
Yeah, maybe I don't know if I saw everything in the upper arm, so maybe it was all hiding there.
You didn't see everything. I will say, lastly, on Dusan Tadic, I think there was a cry of relief on social media. I remember Peter Blake said, thank God I won't have to anguish over do I or do I not bring in Tadic this season, which we all inevitably bring him in and get burned at some point.
Yeah, it's finally over. Speaking of finally, Brandon, we got one last thing to do. Red Dagger has a question. Rank the best Star Wars movies. Come on. It's time we did this. We've actually gone so long on this podcast, Brandon, that we're going to throw it up as a Patreon exclusive. So if you'd like to go listen to me and Brandon talk about the Star Wars universe, you know, just as a quick heads up, we've already recorded this. We went so long that we're not gonna subject people to listen to it who are actually trying to get some fantasy information.
It becomes an actual strange discussion in which we actually start assigning FPL price tags to the various Star Wars movies. So we take it to some real interesting places that I wasn't
expecting. Star Wars discussion where Pavel Pogrebniak is invoked, you know, it's got to be an interesting discussion. So go visit patreon.com/alwayscheating. You also get into our private Slack where we talk about actual things that matter in fantasy, like strategy and prices and captain picks. And we've got a World Cup thread going on there right now as well. And you can also listen to all of our previous podcasts. So there's a lot of great Patreon exclusive pods on there. If all you want to do is just find out more about future episodes, you can go to Twitter. That's twitter.com/hailcheaters is where you'll find us. That's H-A-I-L cheaters. Facebook.com/alwayscheating. You can email us hailcheaters@gmail.com, or you can just visit our SoundCloud page or our website, which is alwayscheating.com.
Excellent. Yeah, I'm now inspired to think about all of the Premier League players who should instead be bounty hunters in Star Wars. Pavel Pogrebniak, chief among them. So that's one for the listeners out there.
Yeah, it's there's a lot of there's a couple five million forward duds in the Star Wars universe. For sure.
All right, Josh. Well, I'm looking forward to hanging out on Tuesday. We're going to be watching live Sweden and Switzerland and then Colombia, England. So cheaters, follow along on social media, and we'll see you next time we podcast. Enjoy the World Cup.
Yep, likewise. And Brandon, I'm looking forward to Tuesday. And we'll be on Slack and Twitter all weekend. So if you'd like to chat with us, please come and find us. And if you'd like, we'd very much appreciate it if you would go onto iTunes and give the podcast a 5-star review. You can write a little review, like, you know, the comments as well. That'd be great. But even all you did was just pop in there and give us a 5-star review. That'd be very much appreciated.
Yes. Very, very cool. That would be very cool. You'll be a super friend of the podcast.
All right. Well, have a great weekend, everybody.
Poku forever.
I don't know what this podcast is. I'm enjoying just talking about the World Cup. So, you know, whatever.
It's just two guys talk about the World Cup. So I think that's fine.
Yeah, I think it's fine.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.